Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the very next episode of the podcast, which happens to be a midweek miracle episode and my interview with Kim Gilson. Now, I need to apologize to you all. I somehow inadvertently uploaded two versions of the bite-sized episode for the last episode released. I'm not quite sure how that happened. I'm checking into the software to see exactly how that transpired. But I apologize if it caused any confusion. Well, I need to introduce you to my guest this episode, and that is Kim Gilson. Pretty much from the second we started talking, we could not stop. You know, when you meet those people who just feel like soul sisters, that you just know you can drop everything and go on over to their house and they'll sit at a table or a counter and just hear you out or deeply listen or offer some really fabulous advice? Well, Kim is that person. She has had a very interesting career. She's been a teacher, she's been a band leader. She tells some hilarious stories in this episode. I was laughing and laughing. And side note, I do confess an earlier crime in my life. It's very, very bad, from when I was in grade school and had the potential to become a musician. I hope you all don't hold it against me. All that to say, this conversation was rip-roaring and hilarious, and I could barely keep up with Kim. Now, she does share several miracles in this episode, and I'm going to use that word with a capital M, because they are very powerful and very, very poignant. I'm going to let Kim tell those stories. I don't want to spoil anything, but I do want to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. So now, without further ado, here's my episode with Kim Gilson.
And my brother and I are talking, and the whole time he's talking, all I can think, I'm just hearing blah, 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 because all I'm thinking is, I've got to sell this house. I cannot afford this house. I've got to unload this house. What am I going to do if I can't sell the house? And then something falls out of the top of this bag of golf clubs and hits the ground. And my brother goes, "What was that?" And he bends over and I said, "It's a dime, isn't it?" And he said, "How'd you know?" There is a book I read many, many years ago by an author named Lori Beth Jones. I've got to find this woman. I hope she's still alive. I've got to find her because I tell this story frequently. In her book, Jesus as Life Coach, she talks about coming up with a symbol. This is going to be a symbol between you and God, and you agree on the symbol. Hers was the ladybug, and she had some crazy stories of ladybugs. Traveling in a hotel, kind of depressed, kind of down, homesick, opens up her suitcase, and there's a ladybug in her suitcase. Okay, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick dimes. I don't know why, I just picked a dime. All right, they're nice little silver, you know, and I've had some good dime stories, but you got to hear this one. So when Paul died, we had a 3,200 square foot house on an acre that was not easy to get to. And I couldn't afford it. It was too much, and I needed out of that house. And the boys wanted out of that house. We wanted a fresh break. So I broke all the rules of widowhood, you know, don't make any big decisions the first year. Yeah, no, they were out the window the first week. So I'm like, we got to sell the house. So family jumps in, they get the house ready, and we had our first showing on a Saturday morning. And I come back, you know, you leave for the showing and you come back, and then my brother shows up. And so we're standing in the garage talking. The garage is pretty much emptied out. They'd taken a bunch of stuff to a storage building. And there is this bag of golf clubs standing in the middle of the garage. And my brother and I are standing to the side of it. We're not touching it. It's not like we're leaning on it. It's just there. And my brother and I are talking. And the whole time he's talking, all I can think, I'm just hearing blah, 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 because all I'm thinking is, I've got to sell this house. I cannot afford this house. I've got to unload this house. What am I going to do if I can't sell the house? And then something falls out of the top of this bag of golf clubs and hits the ground. And my brother goes, "What was that?" And I didn't, he bends over and I said, "It's a dime, isn't it?" And he said, "How'd you know?" Not only was it a dime, it was a 1957 dime, which means it's got that higher silver content. It's beautiful. They were more silver and less gray. And it makes a different sound when it hits the ground. I still have the dime. I want you to know that was Saturday morning. Monday morning, I get a call from my realtor. The people that looked at the house Saturday morning made me a full price offer. I was dating the man that I wound up marrying. There's a 15-year age difference. And I was praying about this. Like, it's, you know, I'm kind of having a problem with the age difference. And I'm praying about it. I get out of the car. I look down. There's a dime on the ground. I picked it up. And for some reason, I went to look at the year on the dime. It was scratched out. I mean, just crazy story. I have jars of these dimes. And I don't keep them all. And I tried to put them in a book at one point. But yeah. God is real and he loves us and he loves communicating with us. He loves talking to us.
Yeah. I often tell people, in my daily life, but also on this podcast that, you know, the universe, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, it's just waiting for relationship and it's waiting for you to initiate it and say, "I'm ready. I'm open." What kind of conversation do you want to have? Yes. How do we begin this? And it's almost like it's waiting with bated breath. It's waiting. I'm waiting. And patience is a virtue, I would say, and one that God is very, very good at. And also, I think, you know, God has to have a sense of humor. I think often with me, because I'm so impatient and I'm also very salty. And so, and I also have told many people that I feel like God is a nag and a monkey on my back. And so I just envision this thing where God is like, "Careful, guys, that one over there is a little salty. So you gotta be patient with that one." I mean, she'll complain for a few days, but then she'll get around to it. So, but I do think that is, first of all, I have to tell you, I was getting goosebumps when you were telling me that story about the dime coming out of the golf bag and the sound, and both you and your brother thinking, your brother saying, "What was that?" But you already kind of knew. I think that's so astonishing, but I think it does absolutely ratify or emphasize that once you open yourself up and you kind of, I would say, make a contract or agree to begin relationship or conversation, that all bets are off and you never know what kind of magic is going to surface or what kind of miracle is going to happen or even, I mean, honestly, what kind of conversation you're going to have. Of course, you have no idea what the conversation is going to look like, but it's exciting because that means every day when you wake up, you never know what kind of adventure you're going to have.
Amen. And just to be open to it, just to say, "Hey, yeah, God, how are you going to show up today?" And I think something that's very important is to realize that God doesn't necessarily talk to us all the same way. And that's okay. And we need to be very careful about comparing our experience to somebody else's and feeling less than. It's okay. You know, I've had dreams. I know somebody else who doesn't get dreams. She gets visions. I think a vision would be really cool. But I get dreams and I hear things. So just the symbol thing. I mean, that was so cool. And just being open and willing to partner, willing to co-labor, willing to listen, willing to talk.
I'm curious how you would feel about this kind of question/statement. Do you think that if you have a more childlike heart, or have a great imagination, or have been kind of fascinated by the arts, like you with music, me with my horrible dancing and swing choir and my writing and what have you. Do you think those kind of natures of people are more readily disposed to having a conversation with God?
Wow, that is a great question. Let me kind of think of some of the people I I would be curious, and I don't know this, but I would be very curious if you surveyed people who are committed atheists about their professions. You know, are more people who are atheists also scientists or also mathematicians? You know, the flip side of that is people who really study science really see the beauty of God and the fact that there has to be another hand in here. There is a man at our church who is very much the professor. He is very much that intellectual science, and like he's all about the time frames and the Bible and the geology and the dinosaurs. Look, I don't care. I just don't care. He does, and he is all about that, and he is every bit as a committed Christian as anybody. But I would typically think that maybe it is a little harder for them, that maybe they need more concrete proof. Maybe. I don't know.
I love dinosaurs. I want everyone to know that, just to put that out there.
So we have this thing, and it's not far from where I live, and it's called Dinosaur Valley. You got to come down sometime. Like, come down and we'll go. I'll take you. Okay.
Hey, it's famous.
It's famous. Yes. Yes. You can go walk in the footsteps of the dinosaurs. Yeah. You come down. We'll go.
Okay. Deal. Well, would you like to share any other stories? I always ask as a last question.
Okay, let me think. Yes, I want to tell you. So somebody recently asked me, like, what's something I'm very, very proud of? And so the night that my husband died, I laid in bed with my boys. They were 13 and 15 at the time. And I said, I can't let this be the last good day that they've had. We have to fight our way back to joy. And if I want them to be happy again, I have to show them that it's okay. And I have to show them how. And we have a very, very good relationship. And I'm so proud of that relationship. But I got to tell you, when I got married again, I wanted a church wedding. I wanted to celebrate what God had done in our lives. We each had one attendant, and I never got on Pinterest. And we only had a cake and punch reception. It can be done, people. It can be done. But cake and punch reception, and my youngest son gets up and he gives the speech that put everybody in the room in tears. And he talked about how he didn't realize until recently how hard it was for me and the sacrifices that I made and what I did and how hard I worked to give them the lives that they have today and the example I set for them. And like, I'm a puddle of ooze, like my mouth is open, you know, this and so well-spoken 23-year-old young man. And then my older son gets up there and I'm like, I can't handle another one of these. I don't know what I'm going to do. And my second son grabs the mic and he goes, Dawn, thanks for taking our mom antique shopping so we don't have to. And the whole church bursts into laughter. And I'm like, yes, these are my boys. This is what I fought for. This is what we fought for. This is seeing his goodness in the land of the living. Their dad would be so proud. The gratitude, the appreciation, the love, the faith, the resilience, and they've still got their sense of humor about them. And it was just, that will go down as one of the proudest moments in my life. I'm sure someday a grandchild will top it, but for right now, that's up there.
All right, everyone. You have just listened to the very next episode of the podcast and my interview with Kim Gilson. I hope you found her just as enchanting as I do and can rest a little easier tonight knowing that there are beautiful humans out in the world creating laughter, creating memories, and creating a better world for all of us to live in. To get more of an idea about this incredible woman, there will be a link in the episode's show notes, and there will be a link as well to her book, which is on Amazon, Made for Community, A Biblical Model to Activate Your Purpose. Now, all of you, I just want to say thanks for listening. And if you can find it in your hearts to do so, please do consider leaving a rating or writing a little review. You have no idea, really no idea, how much those ratings and reviews help other people find this little labor of love of mine. And don't forget the YouTube channel. So very important. You can see my guests in real life, see what they're doing, see what they look like, see their bright, shining faces. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Kim. Be unapologetic. Be one of those people that brings beauty into the world, that is shameless about creating good for others, creating laughter for others. Show up every day, even though we all know the struggle is real. We all know this world can be a hard place, a difficult place, a place that will break your heart. But show up like Kim, believing in the goodness of other people and believing in the goodness of this world. And pretty soon, I'm hoping, and of course, I'm guessing that this world will actually turn out to be a lot more beautiful and a lot more incredible just because you, yes, you wished for it.